Thanks, guys. Thank you, thank you, thank you. My goodness. I leaned over to Pastor Dave. I said, Pastor Don does this every time. He gets me about ready to cry right before I get up there. He's got to stop that. Don't do that anymore. Boy, I wish you'd have just kept preaching. Did you hear where he jumped in and started? And about why God came and or why Jesus came, why God sent his son. Everywhere I travel, all over the country, I stand up and I'm like, Lord, I preach the same thing every time I stand up. It's like, you give me a topic and I honestly think I'm prepared to preach it. You could throw something out and I think I could go there and preach it. But when I stand in front of people, it's like this one thing hits my heart. And it's your perspective in Christianity. It's your motive in why you're a Christian. If why you're a Christian doesn't agree with why he sent his son, you'll never enjoy freedom. You'll never live what he paid for. And your life will go up and down spiritually and you'll have highs and lows. People think highs and lows are normal. Highs and lows aren't normal. Like truth never changes. Purpose is always the same. Like you can have COVID on the earth and you can have political unrest and you can have all the stuff that people think is so tragic and nothing changed about why you woke up. Not one single thing changed about why you're alive and why he's inside of you. And yet if you let your disposition change, you let your attitude change, you get foggy and you get confused on who the enemy is and all of a sudden you think it's people and all, then that's just a sign that you don't understand why you are what you say you are, meaning a Christian. Are y'all with me this morning? I'm going to smile. It might be tight. I don't know. It usually gets a little tight. I didn't come to correct you. I came to cheer you on, but I'm sorry. I'll smile the whole way through. He said you wouldn't be here. You're here because you love God. He said, of course, somebody might have been made to come. But rarely am I talking to a room of hypocrites. I'm not talking to a room of hypocrites. I'm talking to his children. I have no need to correct you, to encourage you and cheer you on in the truth. Yeah? But if we don't get this thing right, so you've been a Christian a while, Pastor. I've been a Christian now a little while, 25 years in June, and I've been in the leadership level of ministry for quite a while, 23 years. And you learn things, you see things, you notice things. I get the privilege of traveling, so I'm in a house every weekend. I learned that there's a general mentality out there. There's like a general attitude out there. There's Christian language. There's a Christian language. A Christian mentality that has really nothing to do with truth. It's rhetorical, it's learned, and it doesn't produce life. It just buys time that we don't have to sell. Like there's a lot of people striving and struggling, trying to make it. You're never, ever, 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 ever. Did I emphasize that enough? Never, ever a Christian just for things to be okay. You're never a Christian for things to work the way you hope. You hear how quiet? That's a strange quiet. See, that didn't settle. That didn't drop like a coin. Over half the room didn't receive that when I said that. And I'm in my own home. I'm just telling you, this stuff's important to talk about. You are not a Christian for things to work out the way you hope. You're a Christian to look like him in the midst of however it works. And if you miss that, you're going to miss the truth. And there's only freedom in truth. That's why people are in derision, a quandary. That's why we say we have the Prince of Peace in us and yet we can't find it. If you're struggling to find peace, you have to find the purpose and the reason why he came and why you're a Christian. You got to go back to square one and say, I missed something when I stepped in. It's impossible to be a Christian for your sake and do well. Because you'll take life personal. You'll take people personal. And everything that's happening around you will decide who you are and how you are. And we'll go sing the right songs and we'll say the right things, but we'll manifest everything else. And we'll be okay if everything's going the way we're praying. But if things ain't going the way we're praying, what did I do wrong? Where's God been? Why ain't he answering my prayer? And it's this self-consumed self thing that's not producing life. Your prayers don't have to be answered for you to be okay. Some of our prayers are wants and they're self-centered. Some of our prayers are idolatry. Are we okay? Are you sure you want me here? Are you sure you're all excited that I'm here? Because listen, we don't have time to live anything else. We redeemed the time. The days are evil. We're closer now than we've ever been. You could say, well, you know, they've been saying Jesus is coming back for generations. But the bottom line is your life is ticking. You're one step closer than you were before to standing before him. He might not come back in your day, but you're going to stand before him and answer for your day. You probably ought to live it by faith and in humility and in righteousness. Probably ought to walk in truth. That'll be a good thing when you stare. You don't have a bunch of attitudes and he said, she said, well, I don't feel, well, how come you? Well, I don't know. You heard Pastor, he said, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground, it abides alone. What does that mean? That means you can never reproduce anything because you're always living for yourself. And at the end of your life, it'll have been all about you. And you can say, I love you, but you've used people for your sake. Because if they didn't do what you wanted them to do, you cut them off or you're angry or you're frustrated or you give them body language. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground, it abides alone. You can't produce anything when you're self-centered. You're surviving and it's miserable. You're wrong and you're sure you're right. And even when you're right, it doesn't matter because it doesn't produce righteousness. See, right and righteousness are two totally different things. Right is driven by what's wrong. Righteousness makes wrong things right. Totally different things, right and righteousness. Who knows Jesus was right? Who knows Jesus is always right? Pastor, you were preaching, man. I was looking, I was like, man, get me fired up. Then he's trying to get me to cry. I'm like, what are you doing to me, Pastor? I'm sitting there and you're talking the language that's in me all the time. He's talking about Jesus coming. 2 days ago, we celebrated Christmas, for God so loved the world. Aren't you glad that he doesn't know what we grew up with in self-centeredness? Because it would read different. It would say, for God was so frustrated and at wit's end with humanity, he finally sent his son. You ever been frustrated at wit's end with people? Parents, you ever get mad and frustrated with your own kids because you'd expected more out of them? Listen, God's never like that. So don't you think it's normal for a second? It's just what we were born into. It's just what we were trained by. But I thought we got born again. I thought old things passed away and all things became new. Yeah, I got scripture to back this stuff up. So your problem ain't even with me. Paul said you bite and devour. James said you bite and devour each other. Paul said there's schisms and strife among you. You're just living carnal. You're in the flesh. You've forgotten who he is and you've forgotten who you are. He said, but if a seed does fall to the ground and die, see, you didn't get born again. You died to get born again. You can't get born again unless you die. You can't bring him into your life. He becomes your life. Christ in you, though. This isn't Jesus incorporated. You don't pour new into something old. You don't speak a language. You become something. You don't serve in a ministry alone. You become something. See, on the day you're betrayed, and it all happens to everybody, on the day you're betrayed, if you live betrayed, you don't understand the gospel. If that becomes the story of your day, your language, your thing, you got to tell everybody, you got to post it, you got to, and all of a sudden it's all about what somebody did to you instead of what he did in you and through you. You're going to be way deceived. On the day you're done wrong, if all you can think is done wrong, it just means you don't understand why he's in you. I'm not saying you're evil. You're misunderstanding the truth, and only in truth do you find freedom. And all of a sudden, you're letting what one person did decide who you are and how you are, but that one person isn't Jesus. That one person isn't Lord. And all of a sudden, you are what you are because of something that's not Lord. But we sing He's Lord, and we let other things govern and decide our life. I'm not talking to evil people. I'm saying, guys, this stuff happens if we don't keep it in front of us. Why do we gather? So we teach and train and equip so we can become one in the unity of faith. We can grow up into Him in all things, the knowledge of the Son of God, right? To the full measure of the stature of Christ. It's Ephesians 4. It's in there. There's gifts given to the body. So that we continue and grow up in the knowledge of the Son of God to the full measure of the stature of Christ. Grow up into all things in Him. It says to the unity of faith. Now, He's not talking about a tool in your belt to get a mountain to move. He's talking about perspective and an attitude that you live by. When He's talking about faith, He's not talking about something that you're a tool to be healed. Faith. He's talking about an eye that you possess through Christ that walks you through every situation, that keeps you unmovable and unshakable and unchangeable like He is, to where nobody can look at you and see what you've been through. Why? Because He's in you. And you ain't say, well, they did me wrong. Well, they should have never. Well, I wouldn't be this way if they did. That is so weak. Let me just be strong. That is so pitiful. And that is so not kingdom. Well, that hurt my feelings. Well, you ought to get them feelings a little more dead. Like all the way. Wonder if God looked at you and said, they hurt my feelings. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, so that the world through Him might be saved, except for so-and-so, because they hurt my feelings. Come on. The things we call normal, Jesus never taught us. The things we say are the way we are, He never taught us. He never modeled it. He never showed us that. So how can we follow that? Because we're following Him. He didn't teach us. Where'd we learn it? There's so many destructive attitudes in the body of Christ that keep us like this. And it's not that we're hypocrites. We didn't wake up to miss Him. We just don't kill the things that should be killed, and we embrace them as normal. Somehow you wake up and think somebody owes you something. You owe no man anything but to love. I know there's a general sense of covenant understanding, and there's general expectations between me and Pastor and Rick and some of us in relationship. But if somebody violates or breaks that, why does that change me? Why am I putting all my chips on a man? If I'm in fellowship and relationship with God, why does my marriage decide my attitude and disposition? Why does my spouse have so much power that I can be high or low because of them? When I say I love you, oh. See, I'm just done living weak. I found a way to be strong, and it's by grace, and it's through truth, and it's all in Him, and He gets all the glory. I've been 25 years in this thing. I ain't been in this thing for eternity, but I think it's long enough to feel like you're on to something. The unity of faith. Isn't that a man? I do this all the time. Rick, come here. Come here, buddy. Look, I called Rick up here for a reason. You're a Hispanic man, aren't you?
See.
Yeah. So he's different than me. No. Culturally. Ethnically, background. You're originally from Puerto Rico?
Bronx, Puerto Rico.
Parents, Puerto Rico? Huh? You have some family line?
Yeah, I got family in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, yeah. You see it? You see it, though? But you see it, don't you? You see it, right? Now, look, here's my point. Can you mix us up? Are we anything alike in the flesh? Watch. There ain't nothing about us that's alike. Culture, ethnic background. Watch. But every day, Rick and I can both wake up and look just like him. And that's what makes us one. Because he can wake up and walk in the light as he's in the light. And he's still Rick. And he's still Hispanic. And he still has culture and heritage and roots. But the kingdom of God is at hand. And I'm Dan, and I'm Dan. I don't even know my background. But I can walk in the light as he's in the light. And all of a sudden, Rick and I, with all this diversity, find true unity in him because we can both look like Jesus.
And that's what makes us one. You get it? Thanks.
You get it? So our theological differences shouldn't make us hate one another. I don't even know if we have any, me and Rick. But that's what we do. We let little details sneak in and override love, override unity of faith. What would happen in this room? What would happen in the sphere of influence of this room? This isn't a super large room. This is an army watch. How do you weigh this? How do you measure this stuff? What would happen in this room if every person in this room would commit to intimacy and communion with God and waking up and keeping their eyes and their minds sharp and their hearts sharp on why they're alive today and stay in communion with God and not just pray their big old need prayer list and then watch and see if God was faithful? Wonder if they went to work not to see if the boss is changed by the Spirit of God through your intercession all night and treats you better. Or if you would just walk in there and see everybody through the eyes of Jesus and walk in the light and love people and walk in truth. Instead of letting where your boss isn't decide where you are, you let who he is settle you. What would happen if this whole room would just commit to why he really sent his son? And just wake up every morning and say, you know what? What a gift. Life in Christ. Christ in me. I'm going to lay down my life. I'm going to walk in love. Nobody owes me a thing. Man, I'm going to shine. And even if I'm done wrong, I'm going to find a way to love. I'm going to find a way to be the same because I found it in him. See, he said the only begotten. He started to teach that out. And he's the same kind as. Actually, when he sends Holy Spirit, the word allos in the Greek means the same kind as. I'm going to send one who's just like me. So when God sends his son, he's sending one what? Just like me. That's why Jesus said, when you see me, you've already seen him. So Jesus tells us to follow him. Yeah? Yeah. He says, as he is, so are we. The things I do, you'll do if you believe. Believe what? That he heals cancer? No, no, no. I mean, believe that. But when he talks about belief, he's not talking about getting something from him. He's talking about becoming something because of him. You can get and get and get and get. If you fail to become, you'll miss the point. It's all about becoming. Galatians 6, whether it's circumcision, whether it's uncircumcision, none of that avails anything but a new creation. Isn't that something? What avails? A new creation. So this whole room just says, you know what? We're going to commit to this thing. We're going to believe the stuff on the walls. We ain't just going to look for a good service where we know he came. We're going to be believers. We're going to prove it to our own conscience, our own life, because we're going to wake up in him. I'm going to walk him out. Wonder if this whole room would start letting the things that don't matter most anymore. You see what I'm saying? We let so many things matter more than what really matters most. Well, yeah, but you don't know what I'm going through. Dead argument, stop. You don't know what they've been putting me through, stop. If Jesus thought like that and talked like that, he's never making the cross. To Could you even picture Jesus bummed out? Could you? Could you picture Jesus just hanging out? Mount of Olives, he's up all night thinking, just thinking about the people, thinking about the thoughts the Lord revealed to him that were in people's minds while he's doing miracles. Belial, devil, heresy. Who's he think he is? Son of God. Just thinking. Thinking how he's doing all this good and they're calling it evil. Peter comes sliding over in the morning early. Peter's up early. Hey, Lord.
Hey.
Could you picture it? You see why you're laughing? Like this is a freaky, stupid story. You say, well, Jesus would never do that. Not because he's Jesus, because he's love. See, don't miss the point. Don't say, well, he wouldn't do that because he's Jesus. He's the Lord. He came to model what life was all about in the first place. He said, the things I do, you'll do. He said, follow me. He didn't say, sing to me and pray to me when you're overwhelmed. He said, follow me. Could you picture Jesus sitting there? Lord, what's the matter? Peter wraps his arm around. Peter, look, you don't understand, man. You're not even in my shoes. Don't even try to speak into my life. You don't get it, man. But Lord, I've never seen you like this. Well, I've been thinking. And you know, these people, they just throng me. They're so needy. They're so self-centered. You know, they really don't care at all what I say. You know, I multiplied their food the other day. Remember how they went out of their way and found me? I crossed all the way over and they all came. There they showed up. They didn't show up because of what I'm saying. They showed up because they wanted another meal. All they want is gimme, 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 gimme. They could care less about the message. Selfish people. And then, remember in Capernaum? Remember how we healed? Oh, yeah, I know. It was cool. But all I heard, devil, Belial, who's he think he is? Where's his power coming from? It can't be God. I said, you don't know how it feels, Peter. I'm just telling you. To know you're doing right and have to be called wrong day after day after day. I tell you, I'm hanging back today, man. You guys go out, do whatever you want. Bring me some grub later or something because I'm done, man. I ain't facing people today. I need time and I just need my space. John, no, John, no, no, not today. Yeah, I ain't feeling it. In fact, come here, John. Now, is that a freaky, weird story? Why? Because you never saw Jesus that way. You never saw Jesus talk like that. You never saw Jesus think like that. But watch, I'm not being mean. It's the only way we thought, and it's the only way we talked our whole lives. And unfortunately, after we get born again, we still think and we still talk that way if we don't stay sharp. And we blame it on normal. Now you show me one thing that this little act produces called life. You show me one bit of life that comes out of this scenario. It slips into self-centered, self-focused, feeling sorry for yourself. All of a sudden, people are your problem. And if people would change, life would be better. Come on. Listen, listen, listen. As a believer, I don't ever wanna ever be there. And that's where faith comes in. And that's where sincerity comes in. See, sometimes we get the idea, y'all sitting out there and I'm up here and I got a title, I guess. I travel, I speak. I don't know what people think or call me. He's a pastor. He's a pastor. Pastors everywhere, right? They got titles. They got positions, right? So we tend to think they're leaders. We're submitted, we're following, we're keeping this thing rolling, which there's a general truth to having to keep something rolling. It takes about, they said last week, 50 people to pull off a service. So who gets that? But watch, you're not followers, you're leaders in so many things because of the truth. Like, why can't every one of us be a leader in character? Why can't every one of us be a leader in walking in the light? Why can't everyone in this room be a leader in love? You might not have been used greatly in a word of knowledge or prophecy or certain giftings, but man, you can walk in character. You can be a leader in living by the Holy Ghost. Why do we always think we're following? Because we don't have a title in a church, and then we strive to get ordained or a ministry title. Are you kidding me? I have a title for you. Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Are you with me? I'm convinced we can all be leaders. We're leaders as soon as we get born again because light comes in us. Light's greater than darkness. I don't know if you realize that, but light's greater than darkness. Darkness is never the problem. Darkness is the absence of light. So it's not about how dark it's getting. That's what we say in the church, and we give ourselves away. Boy, it's getting so dark. Wonder why Jesus just don't come back. I was hoping he'd come in my lifetime. That might be selfish. That might be self-preserving. You say, no, I got scripture on it. To be with him is better. Yeah, and Paul said, yeah, but I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to pour myself out for you. See, you're never living apart from him if you're living in Christ. I understand you can try to pull scripture, to be with him is better, to die is to gain. But you're called to die when you get born again. And you're not just waiting for Jesus to come back in the sense of desperation and it's getting darker. You understand in the heart of love, people ain't ready. If he comes back now, some of your own family members ain't in a good spot. But you wouldn't get so consumed by circumstances, you're just ready to bail out to heaven with me, to hell with everybody else. I want to get out of here, man. I prayed the prayer. Come on. It's all right if I talk this plain. I don't know any other language, actually. He let me speak, so blame it on your pastor. He actually asked me, so it's his fault. Whatever happens this morning is on that man right there. I want you to see something. Look at Ephesians 1 with me. I don't know if you're prepared. I didn't give you my sermon notes before the service. Pastor, he asked me for them. I forgot to mail them to him so he could approve them. I just forgot. But I'm here now. I don't know. Ephesians 1, I don't know how quick they are there without preparation, but I think I can't start in 15. You know, who knows why I can't start in 15? Bam, somebody knows. Because it starts with the therefore. And if I jump into the therefore, you don't want to know what it's there for. So let me just read real fast and not preach. It's hard. I'll jump in at 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Okay, just stop. I got to preach. Think about this. I didn't intend this, but that's good. Like, why is that a big deal to God? Why is he so set on forgiving our sins? But why? What's the big deal? Why would God go out of his way that 2 days ago we celebrated the Son of God being born as a man? Come on, you don't even like sitting in traffic. He became a man. Totally right, treated for being totally wrong. Knowing he was going to die, but no one was going to take his life, he was going to freely give it. Why would anyone go so out of their way? Do you ever stop and think about this stuff? Or is it just baby in a manger and Savior on a cross and thank you, God, for heaven? God gave his only son. Holy Spirit planted him in the womb of a teenage girl. That's amazing that he would come. He's God, the Son. He's always been with the Father. There was nothing that was made that wasn't made through him. He was in the beginning. He was with God. He's the Word. He was, he is to come. And yet, here he is in the womb of a teenage girl. For 9 whole months, he's crockpotting in there like we did. He's becoming something. And her water broke like your mama's water broke. You say, well, I don't even know my mama. Well, her water broke. She don't get off track. Well, my mama didn't love me. Stop! We're talking about her water. Are we okay? Mary's water broke, and Jesus came as a man. How serious must God be about redeeming the truth of who we are and why we're here? Let's not miss our moment and turn it into bless me, Lord, protect me, Lord, keep me, Lord, provide for me, Lord, and become religious, up and down, high, low Christians. Don't let it happen. He did not send his son just to bless you. He sent his son to redeem and restore you, to get the lie off of you, to adorn you with the truth, to put his life in you and his way in you, so you can not only be loved by God, but actually be empowered to become the love of God. And all of a sudden, you don't need to be loved because you've become it through love. Are you with me? And all of a sudden, when you get this, insecurity leaves, bashed up identity leaves, low esteem leaves. All of a sudden you realize, oh my goodness, I was worth the blood the whole time. I was worth the cross the whole time. On my darkest day, God didn't lose sight of who I am. Man, life's been tough. I've made bad decisions. People even been hard on me. I just feel like I had a bad hand set on my, I just feel like it's been a bad, but none of that matters now. Because of what I see, now the truth's revealed. Oh my goodness, it's the truth, and I know it, and it's making me free. All of a sudden, this doesn't even matter anymore. This isn't my story. This is who I am. Wow, I'm coming out of darkness into the light. You see how it works? Or you can just camp out, well, you don't know what it was like growing up, brother. I'm not talking about when you were growing up. Stop. See, because when you say that, you're looking for justification for something that's not kingdom. You say, you're being insensitive. No, I'm being raw and truthful. Paul said, there's one thing I do that I apprehend the reason he apprehended me. If I'm going to get to where he paid for me, the reason he obtained me, if I'm going to step into it, there's one thing, not two, not one of two. One thing I do, I forget what's back there. Yeah, but brother, that's, you know, we need ministry. No, you need truth. I can't find one place in the Bible where it says prayer and ministry will set you free. In fact, in that arena, it's the only one I've ever seen that almost automatically keeps you tied to the problem. When all you need is prayer and ministry, you keep the problem alive, you keep it in front of you, and you keep it in your conversation. That doesn't sound like forgetting what's behind me. And all of a sudden, you're not even walking as his bride. You're synonymous to Lot's wife. And all of a sudden, you're stuck from where you came from and where you're supposed to be going. And you can't go to either. You're just stuck looking there. Can't get there. It's scriptural. You forget. I'm not being insensitive. See, when you look at me, you can't see my roots, my history. We all have a story, guys. Some of our stories are 10 times more horror story than the other. You got 4 stars, you got 8 stars, you got 2 stars. You got a pretty good ride. And then we resent certain people. No, that's because we're judging ourselves by ourselves and we're identifying through our life instead of his life in us. It doesn't matter at this point. I just turned 59 last Wednesday or whenever. Well, a couple Wednesdays ago. Yeah, time's flying. There's a couple Wednesdays ago. I'm almost 60 already. And I just turned 59. What would it do for me to stand here and tell you my story, what I've been through, and then I sniffle when I tell you about when I was 8? And then when I was 13. Are you kidding me? That's all dead. None of that has nothing to do with who you're looking at. You say, but my dad was never there for me, never loved me. He was always hell in my home. Okay, so you ought to be thankful that you're in the light, that he snatched you out of darkness, that he saved you, that he more than spared you, he breathed life into you. You can't make up for yesterday, but you can sure live today in truth. You can redeem the time because the days are evil. That's what these scriptures mean. Y'all with me? Listen, man, we can start with my brother right here. We can go right up the rows. And we could just tell everybody's story, everybody's bad and ugly story. By the time we get to the end, all we'll be able to decide is who's been through the most hell. And then you'll have no ability to minister to them because you can't relate to them because you ain't been in their shoes. And then we're going to strike up the worship team and sing "It's All About the Kingdom." I could tell you my whole story. When you look at me, you couldn't see one line of it. Why? Because none of that's who I am. Not one sentence of the past has any voice in who I am today. Why? Because I'm a believer. Ha! I'm his bride. I'm not Lot's wife. And I look so good in my dress. He's gonna marry me. And it ain't a flaky weird thing. It's spiritual. He's gonna make me one with him forever. He had already done that through his blood. But in that day when I see him as he is. So right now, if I see him as he is, the best I see him as he is, if I take that scripture literal, as I see him as he is, I'll be like him. As I see him as he is, I'll be like him. Why, I ain't never seen him. I ain't never seen him like this. I don't know if people like my preaching, man. I don't know. I've seen some negative stuff out there. I mean, sometimes people, maybe I should just debrief and realign. And, you know, you want more people to like you. Well, I wonder why people put their thumbs down. Don't you think that stuff don't matter? Don't you think that's not what people look at? Oh, it's frightening. See, if I've never seen it in Jesus' life, I don't want it in mine. I do this illustration all the time. For some reason, I feel like I'm to do it. I got time. I've been good, haven't I, Sue? I told Sue, she said, now don't be running all around. I'm on the camera. I said, I'll be good. I stayed in my little batter's box pretty much. Shit. Some places they put tape and then a shock collar wire. And they come in and you're like, and you go, oh. They say, look, he's under the anointing. Ooh. And you're just staying in your box. I'm serious. They don't want you out of that box. They say, you can't step out of that tape. I'm like, and you start thinking there's a shock wire. So you just stand right there and preach. You don't even go near that black line. You don't even go near. I was in church. They did that to me. I was so scared. I don't really get scared about stuff, but I was scared about that. I said, I'm supposed to stay in that? I said, they said when I was preaching, I was on it too. It was just one of them things where Jesus came. It was a blur to me. They said I'd get right to that tape. They said I never even stepped on it, but I never thought about it one time. They said I never even stepped on it. I just stopped right at it every time. Like that had to be the Lord. To me, that's the best part of the whole message right there. That was... Shoo. Could you picture Jesus carrying the cross and thinking about it like a man thinks, just thinking about it, knowing everything in his heart was good? Be honest with me. In your lifetime, there ain't nobody that won't understand this in the room, young and old. In your lifetime, when you meant to do right and your intention was good and somebody called it evil or wrong and misjudged your motive, you freaked out. Defended yourself, couldn't believe, cried and fuzzed. I can't believe you'd even think that about me. I didn't mean that. I was just, man, what are you talking about? I would have never. Oh, you know you meant. I didn't mean that at all, man. I feel like I want to punch you right in the mouth. Who knows what I'm telling is true? When your intention was good and it got misread as not good, that was your major freakout moment. That's called self-defense. That's called insecure. That's called not love. That means you're drawing your identity through what people are thinking about you in the moment. And it never happened to Jesus. So watch this. If we're going to preach this thing, we got to go after it, Pastor. If it never happened to Jesus, then I want to live in a way where it never happens to me. And even if it does, it's not failure. I'm growing, but I'm going to get there. And I ain't running a risk of failing. I'm privileged to become because I believe it's possible. Or you're going to justify your life and stay the same. Well, you know how we are. I mean, everybody has their moments, brother. I mean, well, really, when you think about it, how would you feel if they really, I mean, that was really tough. And all of a sudden, we're wearing ourselves again by ourselves. And we ain't really following Jesus, even though we say we are. Who could picture Jesus just dropping the cross halfway through? Who knows this is a raw deal? Who knows Jesus is the last person that I ever deserve to die? And he didn't just die. He got pummeled. He got beat. If you read your Bible, you couldn't recognize him. He lost his appearance, his visage. His facial features were mauled and marred. He was so bloodshot and swollen that if you didn't follow from the beginning of the first lashings at the end, you wouldn't have known it was the man they started with. That's what your Bible reads. Why'd he lose his visage and appearance? Because man lost his when he sinned. When man sinned, he didn't look nothing like he was created to be. He lost his appearance. So Jesus lost his appearance to pay the price to get your image in God back, God in you, Christ in you, to get the truth back on your life so you could look like what you were intended to look in the first place. And he's Rick and I'm Dan and you ain't mixing us up, but we can both look like him. And he's been through this and that and he, man, his background, he said, tells me stories. I'm like, Rick, that you didn't, that ain't you. Like, I can't even, he'll tell me stories. We were sitting, he's telling me stories of the power of love. And I'm like, that man, that there ain't no way. Well, why ain't it no way? Because that man's dead. Rick's born again. I know Rick. Rick's telling me them stories. They sound crazy to me. I'm like, what? It's so not who he is. I tell stuff about how I used to be before. I say, people say, I can't even picture you like that. That's because I'm born again.
Yay.
I didn't just bring in a Christian confession and sign at the bottom line for my destiny to change. So I land in the right destination. I pray and say the right thing. So I land in the right place when it matters. That's what we've turned Christianity into. Instead of living life in Christ. And storing treasures in heaven and being fruitful and multiplying, because in this, John 15, the Father's well pleased that you bear much fruit and your fruit remain. Remember, unless the seed dies, it abides. So that ain't much fruit. So you can't be a Christian and stay self-centered. You can't be a Christian for you. You can only be a Christian for his great name. Are you with me? So I'm not going to do good because I read one line at verse 7 trying to get to verse 15. So who knows that we're not going to make that? Who knows that no matter how much faith we muster, we have no hope of pulling that off? Okay, so let's try to get around this somehow. So Paul hears of their faith. He's telling them who they are. And Ephesians 1 would be a great chapter for you to meditate on. Oh, my goodness. That's where you find your roots. Call no man on earth your father. You have one father and he's in heaven. That doesn't mean you sinned on Father's Day when you sent the card. What he's saying is don't limit, identify, and regulate your life through natural means, hereditary means, biological means. Know that you came forth from one, and that was in the beginning, and he's the Father. So he's talking about all this in Ephesians 1, and then he sees their dedication, their love for one another, and he hears of it, and their faith in the Lord, and their love for each other. And then in verse 16, he says, see, we got around it. Verse 16, he says, I do not cease to give thanks for you and make mention of you in my prayers. It's always fascinated me since I got saved. I noticed this way back 25 years ago. I was like, this is crazy. This is a couple times now I see Paul doing this. When he sees people living the life and stepping into what it's really all about, that's when he doesn't cease to pray for them. We're praying for the people that didn't pray the prayer yet. And then when they pray the prayer, we say, well, they prayed the prayer, they're in, praise God, they're saved. And then we start focusing on somebody that didn't pray the prayer yet. 12 years goes by, they hardly even been to church, died drunk driving, had a woman in the car, wasn't their wife, been sleeping with them for months. But man, we go back to that day they prayed that prayer. See, that starts trouble in the church because we are just self-serving in this gospel and we fight over little analogies like that. Will you tell me that man wasn't saved? I didn't say none of that yet. God knows. But I don't want to be that man 12 years in. Dibbling and dabbling and not, and just praying a prayer and having it in my heritage. Well, I went to the altar one day. Okay, so why ain't you accountable in your own soul? Why don't you keep your own conscience clear? Why don't you hold your own self in a position of truth? You're just going to say, well, I prayed a prayer one day. No, I lived the life after that prayer. And that's called fruit, and that's what gets judged, your life. Not the day you prayed the prayer. The life you live is what gets judged. The things you do in this body, whether good or bad, will all stand before him. Make no mistake, I wouldn't be a good preacher if I didn't say stuff like that. Paul hears they're on point and says, whoa, I ain't stopping praying now. You guys are on the right track. I'm praying that this whole thing becomes life to you and gets formed in you. Man, I'm praying that you guys walk this out. Ain't that something? I saw that years ago and it fascinated me. I don't cease to pray and make mention of you. Watch. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. You guys did put it up there. Let's just go to the next verse. Look up there on the board with me. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened that you may know what is the hope of your calling. Ain't that something? Everybody's like, oh, my calling. Wait a minute. There's a hope of his calling. There's a reason he called you. Paul said in Philippians to lay a hold of that which he laid a hold of me for. He laid a hold of me with intention. I want to yield myself to fulfill that intention. Or I just want to pray for blessing and provision and protection and call that Christianity and then not be okay when things ain't. And all of a sudden, who I am and how I am is decided by life instead of the one that lives in me. Watch this. The hope of who's calling? This gets intense. What are the riches of the glory of my inheritance? Whose inheritance? We always think in our inheritance. He's not talking about what you get from him. He's talking about what he gets from you. Watch, the glory of his inheritance. Here's what he's talking about. Who would say the blood of Jesus is valuable and precious? Who would say giving the life of your son is pretty valuable and intense? Like, you can't just take a vial of the blood of Jesus and put it on a yard sale table and rightly put a price on it. Watch. When you invest the blood of your son, Jesus Christ, who was and is to come, and you invest that in the earth, the dividends you receive from the investment is your inheritance. He sowed into something to reap something. One son for many sons. Listen, I'm not being cynical, not confessing Christians. One son for many sons. Each seed after its own the glory of his inheritance in the saints. It's what he receives through us becoming surrendered and submitted and transformed.
Are you with me?
See, we usually get stuck thinking about our inheritance. The scriptures we put on our refrigerator always pertain to our blessing instead of our transformation. And we're praying for favor. And that's why kind of we kind of like tap into that, like, oh, he still loves me. Look, I got favor. He loved you when you didn't even think about him. Pastor said it beautifully last week or the week before. He said, you can't do anything to make him love you less or love you more. He loved you while we were yet a sinner. Let's look at the next scripture. And what is the exceeding greatness of? And this sounds like it's all about him. And it sounds like he's making us one with all that he is. And it sounds like he never changed his mind from the beginning, no matter what's happened through the middle. And his love has never failed.
You get it?
So don't miss your moment, your moments now. Don't dread life. Don't fret life. If I'm reading my Bible right, we aren't in hard times. I don't know what's going on with us. Like, and you say, yeah, but my loved one died of COVID. I get it. Some people have been hurt by the COVID thing. But if you're a Christian, you don't die anyway. So death shouldn't even have that kind of voice. See, if you let sentiment rule your life, you'll never live by faith. Faith and sentiment aren't the same. See, they're the opposite because one's moved by sensuality and the other one's moved by truth. And I've always seen, I've never probably said this from the pulpit, cameras are running, I'm in trouble now, huh? I've always seen sentiment as an enemy to the gospel. My whole Christian life, human sentiment as an enemy to the gospel. Because it's human feelings, human emotions, human affections, always, almost always based on need. And then suppresses the truth of the kingdom and gives me permission to be something outside of what he paid for. And all of a sudden, I'm justified, and the people around me that understand become my support system. And the people that hurt like me become my friends. And the people that don't agree, well, he ain't never been through it. Well, he knows what it's like. Well, he all loud mouth out there talking out of turn. And all of a sudden, we justify our stance, even though our stance isn't producing life. Why would you want to stay where it's not producing life, if he came to give you life and life more abundantly? Why would you need an alibi to remain where you're not producing life? Doesn't get any clearer than that, I don't think. It just feels so clear. That just means I preached the best sermon you've ever heard. No, I wasn't saying that, but it just struck me that it sounded like I said that. But if it's true, so be it. And if it's not true, so be it. But let's live by what we heard today. And let's not just sing to him. Let's become something because he came. Yeah? Would you stand to your feet? I want to pray something over you guys. I told you, Pastor, I'd stop before 11. Woo! He said, I don't. I said, I know you don't. I'm going to nail it. That's hard to believe right there. That, to me, is the best part of the whole sermon right there. Who can see when I'm crying out? I know I get excited and dramatic and it's in me. But who can see that Scripture's saying everything that you're hearing today? That there's no way around what's being said if you look to the Word and you look to Jesus' life. How do you get around it? For God so loved you and me because he saw what he created us to be. He knows what we'll look like when he's in us and we're surrendered. He said, that's worth paying a very high price. Look, everybody in this room knows this is true. You don't pay for something you don't think is worth what you pay for. That's usually very rare. Now, I understand a millionaire guy might pay an extreme price for something that we like freak out over, but to him, it's different, right? But I'm just talking about buying a car. Okay. Dave, where's Dave? Dave just bought a truck. I don't know what he paid for that truck, but I'm going to guess somewhere in the mid-30s. I think they run somewhere in the mid-30s. Somewhere. But if they'd have told you 47, 52, would you have bought the truck? No. You are not helping me, Dave. Let me go to somebody else. If you're going to buy a car, and they had it in the window, 15.5, and you did all the homework, you did the, what's that little thing, you looked at Carfax, you looked at Kelley Blue Book, you did your homework, and you said, whoa, they got this car like 15.5, and Kelley Blue Book says it could go as high as 15.8. It's in good condition, and this thing's like mint condition, 15.5. Wow, I think this is a pretty good buy. And then they got 15.5 in the window, and you go up to them and you say, you know what? I've been doing research on this car, it's in great shape. Tell you what I'll do, I'll just give you 16 for it. No, watch. When he knows it's a good buy, guess what he still probably does? Hey, can you cover my transfer title fees and maybe my taxes? Could you absorb that in the price and bring it down for 500? Isn't that what we do? In fact, most of us guys, we think when we left the car lot, we raked the guy, man. Like we got the best buy on the planet. The guy ain't even going to eat for 2 months because we took his commission. Like he's going to owe the dealer. Why do we do that? Because we won't pay for something unless we're sure it's worth what we're paying for. And yet he spent the blood of Jesus to redeem your life. Don't miss that. He believes that price is well worth it to live back inside of you again and put who he is in you. Not just to bless you, provide for you, protect you, but transform you so you can live in his image. He believes the blood of Jesus is worth spending to put his life in you.
You get it? You want to live that way every day. You want to train your heart that way. You want to wake up in the morning and communicate those things with the Lord before you even communicate with anyone.
Listen, don't even flip on your cell phone. Just get this thing straight every day and walk this. Put notes on your mirror. Remember who you are. Do that. Put stuff, put it in your windshield so you can't drive. Stick an 8.5 by 11 right in front of your steering wheel. Remember who you are. You might struggle with work, but work is a blessing. Don't miss the point. Whatever you need to do to teach your soul and to train your heart so that you'll walk your day out by faith, because the just live by faith. Father, I just pray your grace over this house. I just thank you for perspective and motive. I thank you for kingdom-mindedness. And I just thank you for the grace necessary. You give grace, that's for sure. You empower us when we're willing. You empower us when we yield. Man, you are not lacking in the area of grace, God. And I'm asking for grace to come sufficiently to each and every life. And I just pray that you motivate and move our hearts in a way of surrender this morning, where we become what you paid for. Don't just try to enjoy your benefits. God, let us become. Let this year coming up, 2021, when we look back on it, say, my goodness, this was a year that I truly became, that I grew up into him in all things. And I wasn't moved by life. I was moved by the giver of it. God, I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Pastor,